Feeling it, we're physically exhausted, but we're feeling it. We'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. We're in the shed. We got the shed vibe going on.
Mm-hmm. We're champion parents.
Champion parents. Our kids out there winning races, 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Like Venus and Serena of the track world.
Yes, Cora and Huntley ran their first race today, and they won.
Yeah, it was. There was a better reference for that because there were identical twins that ran track. One of them was like more 100, 200. The other one was more 200, 400.
I don't remember this.
They're the Barber twins.
Oh, I do.
Right?
Yeah.
But I only remember Nikki Barber.
Yeah.
They both went to the University of South Carolina.
Yeah. You know? But only one of them went on to be pro?
I think they both went on to be pro. It was because I remember they were during the era of Terrence Trammell, the hurdler.
Yeah, yeah.
The Barber twins. And that's when... Sonya Richards was just bursting on the scene.
Okay.
Everybody listening has no clue who any of these people are. These track people?
Track people.
There were people who did track that were like, you kept following track? What is wrong with you?
Track is a fun sport. I think it's underrated in the U.S.
Oh, it's definitely underrated.
As far as sports to watch, it's a fun sport to watch and like know the people and like see them trials and tribulations.
The athletes are just such dorks. It's hard.
You think
to
that's
market
a problem?
It's hard to market these people.
You think, really?
There are no. You need an edge.
Yeah.
You need an edge as an athlete. There needs to be something like intimidating about your achievements.
Yeah.
Right, and it can't just be clinical. You know, you have to look at this person like, man, I could never do that.
Yeah.
You know, you said you look at these people like, man, good thing he's faster. I'd fuck him up. You better get. You know, they're dorks.
Yeah.
They're dorks. It's hard to market those people.
You have to get a lovable dork like Alex Felix. Allison Felix.
But the women is a little different.
Yeah.
But, sadly... women being good at sports doesn't really draw people to sports.
Not the same. You have to draw people first in with the guys, and then they can transition over to the love.
Like a woman's really good at, like, it has to, yeah, because really for what it's worth, you see how it can be done at high speed and high strength.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, what can be, like, what can women do?
Yeah.
You know? it's like, for as weird as that sounds, it's kind of, it's like.
And I mean, I do like, there's female track stars that I like better than the male track stars now.
Oh, most definitely. The female track stars definitely have way more character than, there's such a disparity too. Because you get these 100 runners who are at the start of these races and they're like stomping their feet and they're smacking their thighs and they're like, got their puff of smoke coming out of their nostrils.
Yeah.
You know, like a bull, you know? And then when they talk to them afterwards, they're like, yeah, I really had a good race. You know, like, my start was really good and I was really just pushing through that dry phase. You know, and it's like, what the hell?
They also only interview them when they're like gasping for air too. Like, so they have to do all their interviews like.
Yeah, even that's fair. That's fair. But even in their little vignettes.
Yeah,
they're
still dorks. They're still dorks.
Right?
Yeah.
They're like, so what do you do for fun? I mean, when I'm not on the track, I'm playing Pokemon Go. It's like, come on, you're an adult though. What else do you do for fun? I mean, look at my Pokemon Go stats, man. Yeah, it's they're weird people. Weird people. They're just hard to make. I mean, I don't know.
Because they like, you go to track because you love that, like, the perfection of it. Like, doing everything perfectly right gives you this, like, outcome that you want. And so, like, people that do track are very, like, they're inside the box. It's like, these are the rules. Like, this is how it works. You know, you do this, you get that. Like, you can't, like, it's not really exciting. They're just like.
Yeah, the sport's not, there's not really much creativity you can do
yeah.
within the actual sport.
Yeah.
Like you kind of, everybody's, there's, this is the form, master it with your body type.
Yeah.
The form doesn't vary.
Yeah.
Everybody's pretty much doing, every now and again somebody comes on around with something that's a little innovative.
Yeah.
Like Michael Johnson with that upright, you know. Like,
woo! Like, it's getting crazy yeah. in here. Who is this guy? Like, he is running yeah. upright.
Yeah, he was like, he basically runs, the way he looks, if you look at a clip of Michael Johnson running, especially from the 96 Olympics,
yeah.
this is when he was like really, this is when he really came onto the stage, right?
Yeah.
He looks like he's playing tag. And he's running from somebody, just like he's just about to get yeah. him. You know, he's got yeah. his back like, yeah. It's a good running style for not getting tagged.
Yeah, you think that's where he developed.
Yeah,
it?
You get fast.
Yeah,
because I guess you. So when you're not getting tagged, you get that burst of adrenaline.
Yeah,
you know, and so your legs start everything just starts moving faster.
Yeah.
So what he did, in my opinion, what I think he did is he conditioned himself. He went body mind, right?
Yeah.
So he conditioned his body
yeah.
to run in the form of get out of here, not get tagged.
Yeah.
So that the adrenaline kicks in. He Pavloved
yeah.
himself.
Yeah.
You know, he just so that's probably why he set those records.
That's yeah. that's a secret.
And then Usain Bolt was just faster than him.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just you know, whatever. I'm not gonna talk about it. Who wants to talk about track? I'm done. Tiger Woods is back.
Oh yeah, he is.
Let's talk about a real sport.
It's crazy how supportive everybody is of him. Like, not that, like, I don't hold it against him, but it's just, like, it seems like he's getting a lot of love. I think we kind of feel bad. We're like, oh, he had an affair on his wife, but, like, did we have to do that to him?
Well, it was the curse of white women.
Yeah.
And people wanted to see if the curse of white women could be broken.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, and it was like, as long as the curse of white women is upon you, you reap what you sow. he came out the other side. He cured it.
He did. You do feel like you're like, he did a lot of work on himself.
Yeah.
Like, he put it in.
Like, it mostly it was like, you were losing a lot.
Yeah.
It's like, before all of that stuff, you were the epitome of winning.
Yeah.
You were a sure thing.
Yeah.
As far as winning was concerned.
I can't name any other golfer. Like, but, like, you knew his name before
yeah.
the scandal. He was that good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the guy that's not the actor, Jack Nicholson or Nicholson.
Oh, Nicholas, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know his name.
His name.
Yeah.
I know there was a guy that said something racist about Tiger Woods eating collard greens.
Oh, yeah.
And because, you know, you get to pick a meal when you win something, you get to, or the yeah. next year. So if you win one of these green jackets at one of these places, you pick what the meal is going to be. For the next year.
It's quite a privilege. Okay.
And that I bet is
it's
quite
like
a
really amazing meal too. Like, you can think of.
Right?
Yeah.
Get something with capers. Fancy.
Yeah.
Something
you can go
fancy,
as fancy as
right?
you can think.
And throw some capers on that shit. So the guy was like, oh, he's probably going to pick like fried chicken and collard greens, is what he said.
It seems uncalled for.
I mean, back then, I was like, that was a racist thing that he just said.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, in this day and age where I'm anti all of this shit, I'm just like, well, what if he did?
Well, because back then we're like, oh, it's a racist thing. We all just kind of shake our head at him. We're like, dude.
Come on, man.
Now he's like, his life is over.
Yeah.
Like, send him to the cave.
And then, like, meanwhile, here's why it's fucked up, because he's like, ugh. So now he's probably going to have fried chicken and collard greens at the clubhouse next year. Is that what we're all going to be eating because he won? Is that it? A little teriyaki fried chicken. And then poor Tiger Woods has to delete that email that said fried chicken and collard greens. And how much does that suck?
Yeah, right?
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the real issue there.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, you're micromanaging my situation. Now when I hit send, now it's a thing. Like, this is just what I wanted to eat.
Yeah.
Now it's like, look at what he did. It was a slap in this other guy's face. And now you're famous because of all the hard work that I put in and wanted to eat fried chicken and collard greens, which is my lucky meal. Whatever.
Yeah.
Tiger's back. He beat white women and he's back.
He beat white women.
He beat it. He beat it. Right? Because that's all he had to do was start winning again.
But what is this curse of white women that you're talking about? He had a beautiful wife that he cheated on a bunch. And now he's The white woman curse? What do we?
First of all, beautiful white woman, that's how they get you. Step number one, beautiful white woman.
Okay.
Step number two, she tries to make you change, even though you're like wildly successful doing things a certain type of way.
What'd she make him do?
Dude, he was banging a lot of bitches, probably a lot before her.
Jesus. Listen,
you can't come in and step on the game. Like you stepped into a billionaire golfer.
He still doesn't get to cheat on her.
If that's how he became a billionaire.
Then he shouldn't have a wife.
Okay, I agree. She should go. She should just pack her shit and go. You don't like this? You don't like this? Get out of here.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Jeez.
No, I mean, of course that's ridiculous. But it's also, I mean, some of it's kind of true for me.
which parts?
I don't know. You unpack that yourself. You figure out how to make your own judgments, right? But, I mean, well, no, it's like... For a black man, mm-hmm. the curse doesn't happen for all men.
I feel like this is a Pirate of Caribbean storyline.
Yeah, once in a while a white woman gets her a minority. That's basically what it is. It's like for minorities. It's all brown minorities.
Saying that she gets the minority. She didn't get him. She got the short end of the stick in this.
Well, she got a minority. She bagged herself a minority,
ripped
him away from his culture.
How much? I don't think I know anything.
It's part of the curse. Yeah. When was the last time we dapped up? You don't even know what dapping up is. Look how far you ripped me away from my culture. What is it?
I found you at Lafayette. I did not rip you away from your culture.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I found you at Lafayette. See? You bagged one.
I didn't.
Start cursing me. Mm-mm. Yeah, it's no, so that's part of the curse. So you bag him when he's at his low point. He can't say no to the white woman flesh. it's at a point where it's just like he's, all of his normal red flags are down.
Okay.
You know, his defenses are down. He's very vulnerable to white women.
To just, okay.
She comes in.
Uh-huh.
She's nice.
She's nice. She's like, how could she?
Agreeable.
Ah, the curse. There it is.
That's not the curse. That's part of the curse. That's the mechanism. That's the mechanism for the curse, man. Mm. Because white women don't stay nice and agreeable.
Oh, no?
You think you feel agreeable right now? Do you feel like you're working with me to flesh out the white woman curse? Or do you feel like you're being, I don't know, disagreeable about this whole entire thing?
I think you're feeling extra sassy because you just had it out with a biracial girl in there.
No.
And I think it's just this weird, yeah. And so you're sassing the white woman.
I'm feeling good because Tiger's back.
You keep saying that so aggressive.
He's winning again. He just won the Masters. I was happy today.
I was happy for him until this conversation. Now I don't want him.
No, but he did. He was like, he was public enemy number one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it really goes to show that it came down to whether or not you could win. You fucking dork. Like, we let you be an example of winning, you fucking nerd. That's what it was. Yeah. It was like, how dare you? Because that's what happens. You let one slip by who has no edge at all.
Yeah.
You let one slip by and then look at what he does.
You got to put that back away. We don't want
to. And that's why
we
you
take
can't,
it back.
And that's why you can't trust track athletes because they they like kind of talk like they're dumb.
Yeah.
You know, like they don't like when you get one that can put a sentence together. It's the biggest star in track. That's really how you become a star in track.
Yeah.
Can you talk good?
Yeah.
It's like, you're all fast. Can you talk good? Can you talk good?
Yeah.
You know, like the 110 hurdler that like set the record and like won the Olympics. He's a little effeminate.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Maybe.
You don't talk good, dude.
I don't know.
Right? You don't talk good. We were more interested in, I don't remember his name. That doesn't really help my case.
Yeah.
But as a memory, we were more interested, you'll probably remember, the tall Asian
hurdler. Oh, yeah, yeah, right? Yeah. I remember him.
He was the man, right?
Yeah.
He got beat by this effeminate dude all the time.
Yeah.
He never beat
one
him.
One time he didn't, right? It was like one time he didn't. He did?
No, he never beat him, I don't think.
Because I remember, I was thinking, you were talking about one-ton hurdler, I was like, oh, the tall Asian
guy. The tall Asian guy, right? Yeah. He was the man.
Yeah.
He was the man. No. The other guy, and we don't know if he could put sentences together because he had a translator who spoke well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, he had a good translator. Yeah. He spoke good English. He crushed that other hurdler with his translator.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, man, track athletes are mostly idiots. Tiger's back. Tiger's back. What's his name? Julian Assange.
Oh, yeah, they got him.
He's back. We got him back.
Is it true that people said he was a bad house guest and he smelled bad?
I don't know if it's true that people said that. I think I'd be more concerned with whether or not it's true that he was a bad house guest. And did he smell bad?
I don't know.
More concerned with that because that's the kind of journalism I do.
Yeah, so what do you know about him? I just know he came out and he got swept up. They kicked him out of where he was staying. And somebody was waiting outside.
I don't know. Did you see the picture of him?
No.
He didn't even look like himself.
No?
No. Look at this picture. Hold on. Let's pause.
In the world.
Yeah. That is what he looks like now.
I don't think that's him.
Right?
Yeah. I think they just arrested some other dude.
Yeah.
They're like, let's just pretend like this. Look at how he's winking. What's he up to?
I don't know. He looks like Jeff Ross.
Yeah. I don't know who that is, but yeah.
That's the comedian that does all the roasts. He's the roast master general.
Yeah,
the most
roast
master.
What in the world has he been doing in that place?
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
He looks bad.
Yeah.
It's bad,
like aged.
Well, it's not even that. Like that guy doesn't necessarily look bad. Like I just said, he looks like Jeff Ross, and Jeff Ross is doing well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, he's the roast master on Comedy Central. He has the roast battle show. He's like seems to be like executive producer of that and everything.
Yeah.
That's his face. That's Jeff Ross's face, basically.
Yeah.
But the transition from what he used to look like, if you go from anything to Jeff Ross, it's not a good look.
Probably not.
You don't want to transition into a Jeff Ross. Like that's what he looks like now.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Man, I guess it's pretty stressful what he's been through.
Yeah, I mean, when you have the full weight of the United States military on your back, or not even like the United States military, but the United States intel, the United States
Secret Services.
Well, that's basically what I'm getting at, like the spy agencies and shit.
Yeah.
Like all of the what is the category for all of those? Basically,
security.
All the fucking spies the U.S. government has. you know that they're on your tail.
Yeah.
And you don't know who's a spy. Well, technically you do because you
had all the papers.
Yeah. Ironically, they hired new spies. So it's like, fuck. You know, what are these new spies gonna look like?
Yeah.
Where are they gonna pull them from?
Yeah.
You know, they can't all just be young. It's not McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know? It's that's something that the weight of that.
How many years has it been that people since he's done that?
It's been a while.
Like 10 years?
I don't know. I don't know anything about Julian Assange or...
I remember not knowing enough about it when it was happening. Being
I remember like this. Like WikiLeaks is kind of attached to it.
Yeah.
And then spy names.
Yeah.
Right?
He put out a bunch of military classified documents.
Yeah. And that's...
They exposed what the military was doing with terror investigation at that time.
Yeah. I mean, I have the news in kind of like my conspiracy theory chunks, right?
Yeah.
So I know what happened. So he was at the Venezuelan embassy in London, I think it was.
Yeah.
I know what happened. I don't know necessarily where it happened. I know he was in the Venezuelan embassy in a place that wasn't Venezuela. It's in Europe.
Okay.
English-speaking part of Europe.
Okay.
That's just London, right?
That sounds good.
Right?
I'm with you.
Yeah. So the conspiracy theory is, according to some of my conservative sources, is that the Venezuelan, basically the Venezuelan president was like, fuck that dude, send him to the wolves, because he tried to restrict Julian Assange's internet access.
Yeah.
And when he did, Julian Assange basically exposed photos of an affair he was having on his wife or something, or he like exposed something about.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, so he's been in the Venezuela embassy this whole time?
I don't know where he's been. He's been somewhere turning into Jeff Ross.
Yeah.
Wherever you do that, you know?
I don't know.
He's probably just been embassy hopping.
Yeah.
I thought he was in Russia at one point.
I thought so too.
I say, where do you go? Where do you stay? I mean, because that's probably, more than likely, that's probably what he was doing. He was either staying in one embassy, the Venezuelan one, the whole entire time, or he was embassy hopping.
Yeah.
You know, but how do you get from one to the other without getting caught?
That's stressful.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You have to do some born identity shit each time you hop.
You have to start looking like Ross.
Yeah,
you gotta change your identity. You gotta get through the streets.
You know, or like, it's weird because it looks like Jeff Ross or like heavily bearded John Malkovich.
Yeah.
You know, there's.
His beard is bizarre.
Yeah, he's got a face that kind of transitions into a crowd, which is kind of what you need when you're on the run.
Yeah.
He evolved.
Yeah.
Into somebody who was on the run.
Yeah.
Man, I wonder if we can do that.
Yeah.
Like as a species. You know, like if you hit a lot.
Yeah.
Would you start to get like sneaky shoulders? You know, so you could hide behind telephone poles and shit, but then be normal. Like, you know, you start like collapsing. You collapse better than everybody else. You just.
I think we can.
Then you can get some sneaky shoulders.
Yeah.
All right, man. I'm beat.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like I'm mustering it up. We got it. I think we got what we can do. This is gonna be a short one.
Yes.
Right?
We tried.
Yeah.
We did.
Lord forgive us. We got them dark forces in us. It was that's a line from a rap song. Mm. I would remember exactly who it was if you didn't rip me from my culture and just start cursing me.
I don't curse. What are you talking about?
You know what white women be doing?
What?
Stop acting all innocent. I mean, you're innocent. You're not cursing me.
No.
We're good.
Yeah.
You're not a wicked.
But you're accusing my sister white women of this behavior.
Oh, is that a sisterhood you want to claim?
No.
Exactly. See? See? There's curses all around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know. You could be dealing with the curse of the black man.
Oh, I am.
Yeah, well, you're not a single. You would be a single mom raising these monsters by yourself. You know, it's curses.
Gotcha.
It's curses. Black men and white women are not good for each other. It's basically what I'm getting at. It's a terrible combination. It's a terrible combination. What are we running, some sort of social experiment here?
Yeah.
Tiger Woods beat it. He's back. He's back.
Yeah.
No, but he did. He beat the stigma that he if anything else, let's say this. Let's say I'm saying it wrong. He beat the stigma that black men and white women are bad for each other.
Right. Yeah. Wait, why do you mean he beat the stigma?
He beat it. Like, he started winning again.
Because he started winning again. Took him a long time. Maybe they're not bad for each other, but they could really destroy each other.
Yeah.
Like,
well, here's the thing too. It's like, To my credit, I'm also assuming that Tiger Woods isn't suddenly dating black chicks. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, Tiger Woods, like, I did, like, for example, like, me, I was willing to date anybody.
Right.
I just ended up with being bagged by a minority bagger. The minority bagger got me.
That's an offensive term.
Minority bagger?
Yeah.
It's a great term, though. It's a great a racial slur for white women who date outside of her. Oh, you got a little minority bagger, a little MB over here. So
I want to see when he steps out with a new lady, though.
Oh, she's going to be white.
Yeah.
She's going to be white. I think he dates white. I think he's an exclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's exclusive.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, I'm exclusive now. That's part of the curse.
That's part of the curse.
Right? If it, like, God forbid if anything ever happened to this or us, like, I walk this earth in search of white women for the rest of my life. I'm cursed to search for white women. Now I'm gonna beat it like Tiger. I don't know. You got to see what Tiger steps out with.
Yeah.
How do you beat it? How do you?
You have to focus on this. Yeah.
This is very important.
All your answers.
Yeah. This is important to me and my self confidence. Like how I'm able to proceed.
Yeah.
Like confidently in this relationship is all determined by what he steps.
It's a lot of pressure.
Because it's.
You put honestly, a lot of eggs in that basket.
Sir. Honestly, it's like, and it's like the guy part of me. It's like whatever she is, she's just got to be hot.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if she's not hot, it's like Tiger, no. No.
He comes out with like a plain Jane, like
yeah. It's like because then it seems like if he came out with an unattractive white woman.
Yeah.
It would definitely feel like a curse.
The only way he can win again.
Yeah. It's like he has to build himself back up.
Yeah.
From the bottom of the white woman. It's just like build himself back up.
Yeah, until he's worthy again.
Gotta start winning first. Get yourself a white woman. Start winning with her. Don't marry her, Tiger. Yeah.
As soon as he stops caring and looking for the most beautiful one, that's when he'll get her.
She'll find him.
She'll find him.
Yeah, yeah, she'll find him. And then like the plain Jane that he's with, she'll just concede.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, she'll be like, you know, it's like
they're better together.
I noticed when they were introduced to each other, they just had a spark that we didn't have.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. I had a lot of fun while I was with him. We did a lot of things. He's a billionaire.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool. It's cool being Tiger Woods. Come on his comeback. his comeback to the heights of white women. I would love if his climb was that.
Yeah.
And that's why he's winning again.
Yeah.
Like he's finally back to white women. Like up until now he's been dealing with like surly minority women.
Life just got real peaceful with his agreeable white woman.
Yeah, and it's like he's at the bottom. He's like, it's just agreeable. She has no other amenities.
Yeah.
She's only agreeable. He's just plain face, plain hair, plain body, you know.
But she's agreeable.
But she's, you know, she'll watch whatever movie you want to watch. Yeah. That's, man. If we weren't tired, I just feel like there's so many. I just feel like there's so many places that we would be going with this.
We can think about it and talk about it next time. We'll find out more about Tiger Woods.
We'll report on the saga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The saga.
All right, man. This is like now I'm excited. Now there's pressure.
Yeah.
Right. Like our relationship's fine.
Yeah, so you keep trying to convince yourself.
Yeah, I'm not going to worry. Yeah. Like, we're not going to hinge fine. That.
My relationship is not hinged on Tiger Woods, and yours better not be either.
Yeah, yeah, we're good. We're going to make it. But the pressure, like, it's like, man, now we're reporting on things. Like, did he make, now we got to figure out, so we look at the white woman that he was with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do we also compare the white woman that he ends up with now compared to the white woman that he cheated with? Like, because if she's like bam, 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 like blow.
We've got to make like a board like you have in detective movies with like strings and pins between like the white women here. So, so we can chart it.
Yeah,
like
we do. We need the registering. Research. We need the registering these white women.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause we gotta string their amenities. Like that's what qualifies them. Like what are their amenities? Like do they look a little bit slutty? like what kind of butt does she have? Does she have an athletic butt? Does she have a twerker? Does she have a, that's a category of butt, by the way.
A twerker.
Right?
Okay.
Because it's like one that looks like more lava lampy already before it even twerks.
Yeah, you can see a butt that can twerk.
You know a twerker when you see one, right?
Yeah.
A twerk, that's the only category that I have so far. that's fun to say.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look at that twerker. Look at a twerker on her. Look at the twerker. Look at this. Some guys out there. Probably got twerkers.
Some guys do, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay, so. Yeah. Let's chart our amenities. What would you say John Jones, the chick that he's with, that Daniel Cormier, remember they were going back and forth, and she has a flat butt.
Yeah.
And he had to own the flat butt. Like, I love my wife's flat butt.
Is that the woman that he's been with through all of this, or is that his new woman?
I think that he's the one that he's been with through all of this, but you got to keep in mind, she stayed with him when he was, like, coked up, like, hitting pregnant women with his car.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, would you stay with me through that? Like, right?
Just so you know.
Yeah, right? It's like, come on.
Yeah.
It's a curse. You got you one that is, you got you a white woman that is stick with you through that. Okay, here we go. Loyalty, no butt. Right?
I feel like you feel like it's equations, there's a give and take with everything here in this equation.
When the universe gifts you a white woman.
Yeah. There's always like a downside with the upside. Like, but
yes.
But
yeah. That's you hear a lot of comedians making jokes about how a funny comedian, Lemaire, a Philadelphia comedian, I think he's in New York now, but he's just a funny comedian about without giving away about the preciousness of white women.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's funny. It's real funny. But when the universe gifts you a white woman, that's how you find out how good you've been. It's like it's like Santa Claus. Yeah. It's
like you're on the naughty list. No white woman for you.
Yeah, yeah. This it's like, or you get it's just that you just get one. It's like the one you get. You know, it's like the monkey's paw.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't say that because we're talking about interracial relationships. I think, right? Is that what
can't
we're talking
talk
about?
Yeah, we can't talk about monkeys.
Ansley. Ansley was going to social justice warrior out today. Our kids were at a race, and our kids were being all biracial. There was one other black family there, which is hilarious. Right?
Yeah.
Because so this race, they break up the kids by age. So age and gender,
yes.
By the way.
Yeah.
Right? So our girls are in like the
2 and 3 year old.
And 3 year old. And then there's like 4 and 5, I guess.
3 and 4. Four and five.
Four and five.
Yeah.
And then 6 and 7.
Well, then it becomes first grade.
Okay.
And second grade, I think.
Gotcha. So our girls were in the 3-year-old race. They're the second. There's a black family there. Then there's our kids.
Yeah.
You know, and the only it's like black family, and then the next most ethnic is our girls.
Yeah.
And they told all the, there was a bunch of white kids.
Yeah.
And they told all the white kids that after the races, they can grab a water and grab a banana and, you know, to encourage them to eat the bananas, like make sure they get the nutrients that this banana holds for them after a race in them.
Yeah.
They said, you know, eat it like a monkey.
Yeah.
You know?
And they're little kids. She's being a little silly. She's talking to 2 and 3 year olds. She's trying to keep their attention.
All parents refer to their kids as monkeys.
Yeah.
Right? You just can't cross race it.
Yeah.
It's apparently the thing.
Yeah.
You know? It's
So I was highly offended.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I would have loved it. I would have even though I don't support that type of shit, I would have supported you in that moment just because I love being a public disturbance. I love when our family's a public disturbance. Yeah, man. Our girls won that race. Our girls got first and second.
Yeah, they did.
Our girls our girls were out there. They just looked like little humans compared to those other kids were kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Those were, they we did not do jiu-jitsu 5 days a week.
No,
you know?
No.
Like those were children. And then our little athletic kids, like, bam, go, boom, right out the gate. Mm-hmm. Hair flying all over the place. That was pretty cool.
They were running.
Yeah, that was fun. My girls, they were on the move. And then in the next age group, the black girl won.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
By a long, that's just so funny to me.
Yeah, and she was running, too.
Yeah, like the first, yeah, exactly. The first two races, it was just like, listen, you kids better get your fucking, you parents better get your kids together. Because next year, you see what's coming.
Yeah.
You know, it's, they're not going to get blacker, but they're going to get faster.
Yeah.
Whatever. All right. I'm beat. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, it's tough. Every day I try to fight my way out of this relationship. you bag me every day. You get me. You're tricky. You're crafty. You're a crafty, crafty minority bagger over here. You're good. Mm-hmm. Good. You're like a bounty hunter. Should make a movie about you. Crafty. All right. Sorry this one is so short. Honestly, I don't think we can really continue at a level of quality that we're willing to put out.
Yeah.
If we tried. So thank you for listening. I think we're just going to put this out short and not like try to half it. And then it is because it's just going to get more painful.
Yeah.
Right. This week is just going to get more painful.
Yeah.
So we'll try to because this Saturday was pretty busy. We're recording on the day Tiger came back.
Yeah.
On Tiger back day. We you know, we celebrate it all day long for that. We're beat.
What is the
day? Okay. It's a Sunday. We normally record on a Saturday.
Yeah.
So we couldn't because we were so beat. Anyway, we didn't even get to talk about our experience.
We couldn't because
in
I
the
went
fight
to
club.
Oh
wait,
because I went to a kickboxing fight.
Yeah.
And watched somebody from our team destroy the opponent.
Oh goodness gracious.
Which was fun.
Yeah, our gym does it all.
Yeah, it was like a proud mom moment with the kids running, a proud teammate moment. Like it's a very proud weekend.
Yeah, we got some winners, man.
Yeah,
some winners. You win jiu-jitsu tournaments. Our MMA guy, he won his first fight.
Yeah.
Our Muay Thai guy, he won his fight.
Yeah.
And our kickboxer won her first fight.
Yeah.
Everybody won. All of our combat.
She's technically Muay Thai too.
But she did a kickboxing match.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The other Muay Thai guy, he did a Muay Thai match.
Really?
It was Muay Thai.
Okay.
I think. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I remember the gloves being
different.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But.
However, all of our strikers are out there. All of the people that are striking from our gym are out there winning. We're a jiu-jitsu gym.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We're grapplers.
Yeah.
And we're out there. You know, punching people and kicking people in the heads.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good for, like, you know, our head guy, man, who, by the way, was in Thailand and just came back. He's back.
Yes.
He's back with the secrets of the world and martial arts. But he's a combat genius. It's crazy to be around him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Yeah. It's I like being coached by him.
Yeah.
I like being under that tutelage. I like when he's hard on me.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, it's fun. I don't feel like he pushes people to do things that they can't do. I feel like he's really good at assessing what a person's ability is,
mm-hmm.
and how they move and mm-hmm. what they can do,
mm-hmm.
and demands of them with the years of experience in assessing that. What he believes, he knows, he sees.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just like, do the thing I know you can do.
Yeah.
I know you're tired.
Yeah.
Suck it up and do the thing I know you can do.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, yeah, he has a very good way. The fighter that won said that, thanked him and said, like, you have a way of knowing exactly what, like, somebody needs to hear to get out of their own head.
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, really good at understanding how other people tick. In those pressure situations. Like.
Yeah, and that's mostly the reason why I would want to compete in a grappling tournament is just to kind of know where your head is the days leading up to the tournament so that I can better deal with your shit.
Yeah.
You know, as I'm also trying to make sure you're getting all the nutrients and the weights right and the workouts are right and the body's right. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a lot of stuff that like I'm demanding that you do, and you know you're fussy. But I would like it would be nice to know all the different types of anxieties that you're dealing with. I think I'd know how to. I think I'd be able to more smoothly. Because what I've basically been doing is jumping on her back and shoving food down her throat. Eat it. No, eat it. A lot of grabbing the nose and pulling the chin down. Yeah, that's basically how I get her to eat. And it's like, not to say that it's tough, but sometimes it get, you know, it's like you got nerves in you. You could easily pass on eating in this moment. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's like your nerves will fill your stomach.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's a weird feeling.
It is a weird feeling.
Like, I don't need anything. Like,
no, if I anything more will just make these nerves just grow. Yeah. Like, I can't. Like, it's, yeah. I think that's what it is. You think, I think in the back of your mind, I think, I'm glad we rambled on a little bit. I think we just discovered some shit. Right?
I think my nerves are going to explode out of me.
But I think that's why we don't eat.
Yeah,
when we have that feeling in our stomach.
It's so true.
I feel like we think that we are going to expand the feeling. We're going to make that feeling grow if we eat.
You're going to feed it.
You're going to feed the feeling.
It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. I know it is.
So weird how our minds get tricked into these counterintuitive ideals.
It is weird.
Even if that's not the ideal, it's like when you're feeling that way, you still need to eat.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. Yeah. When you're feeling that way, you cannot eat. It's so hard to eat.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's like you put food in your mouth that you would normally put in your mouth, and you're like, oh, my God, this is so good. You put it in your mouth when you're feeling like that, it's like, I want to have to.
You're like, I don't know how to chew anymore. Like, you're just like,
it's like,
is this how I do this?
Spit won't come in. There's no spit in your mouth. It's like everything's dry that you're trying to eat.
I don't even know how to eat anymore.
Yeah, it's like, this is milk. Why is it dry? It's just like, yeah. That's it. By the way, I don't drink milk. I'm a grown man. But I think we usually uncover the secrets of the universe at least at a point in the podcast.
True.
And right when we're about to hang up our gloves.
Yeah.
Boom.
There it is.
You're welcome. Eat. Eat when you're nervous.
Yeah.
Weirdos. All right. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for. Ratings and reviews, and I hope you keep coming back. I hope you had a good time listening to us talk about those dastardly white women. We're back.